Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6? If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1160. Page 1160. Now, also, would you please take your notes out? And I want you to turn to, well, let's just start with the back page of the notes. Please take a pen and circle questions number 4 and 6. You can read them right now and know what you might be, how your soul might focus on things as we share from God's word. But please don't neglect to personally interact with these questions. Questions number 4 and 6. And then if you turn to the inside of the notes, I'd like to read this introduction to you, please, and then I'll read the scriptures. And I'm really thankful for the book of Job. I'm really thankful for the book of Job. Because I think it's told the story of mankind, generation after generation after generation. And it's not just something that is just a message that is looking for sympathy. It probes our hearts when we wonder, what in the world is going on in my life and in my family, in my community of faith, among my friends? What in the world is going on? It can be intensely personal, but more than just personal, it's tremendously insightful. Job had no idea that Satan was waging a war against him. Have you ever, as you started reading that book, and you see all that he went through, have you ever stopped to think, man, how unfair? Job was such a good guy. That's what God said. And when Satan said, let me have at him, Job was only a good guy because you've made his life so cushy. I think, and God let Satan have at Job? The enemy sought permission, the Lord's permission, to prove that Job's faith was only because God had made his life too cushy. So the battle lines were drawn. The stakes were high. His support structure failed him. His friends, his wife, they failed him miserably. And casualties were continually mounting. Job's story has been repeated in the experiences of families and churches ever since then. Ever since then. Last week, Pastor Dennis reminded us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, think, every one of you, all of us, how did that struggle with the enemy of our soul manifest itself in your life over the past week? And what did you do to stand firm? When I say, how did that struggle manifest itself? If you could say, well, I don't think anything, nothing happened, then I guess I would say with some of the preachers of old, and you must be living such a neutral life, you know, kind of a pablum life, that Satan doesn't give a rip about you. You've already taken yourself out of the picture. It's a spiritual war, folks, for us all. And some of the most godly people who I deeply respect with me have known the struggle along the way. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14. Pardon my voice. I don't know what happened, but I don't think it's catching. But I'll still do the fist pump. Bump. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14, and I'll read from the New International Version. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We're all familiar with pictures of warriors, old pictures that are resurrected, like the one on the screen, and new. We've got our old warriors and we've got our new warriors. Can I have that picture, Dennis? Old and new, side by side. Can't have it. It's somewhere else? Oh, okay. It disappeared into cyberspace. We'll call that the devil. Not you, Dennis. Excuse me. You'll see that in this soldier here, I'm looking back there at that screen. One of my grandsons likes to read the songs on that screen when he's down in the front row. But it's the same picture in all three places. You'll see the belt of the soldier. Ah, there it is. And you'll see the breastplate of the soldier. And both of these pieces of armor are critical if you're heading into war. There's one of our good friends who sometimes provides security around this place, and I came up one evening, and he was here to provide security as our school's day was coming to an end. And he looked like this Roman soldier, except in modern paraphernalia. He had the flak jacket that we are so accustomed to seeing, whether it's here in the United States or overseas. Those in law enforcement or in anti-terrorism wearing this flak jacket. And he had communication equipment all over his body so that if he needed to call for help, it was there. And he had a belt that was full of things that would take care of him should it happen that he needed to protect the children in our school from a possible threat that was considered serious at that time. And he was here to give some security to our staff who was here at the close of the day. The belt that when Paul says stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, this was the first bit of armament that he was referring to, the first. And it was it served a couple of different purposes. The first thing was that this belt gathered together his tunic so that the tunic that was the garment underneath would not interfere with anything that he was doing. It wouldn't get snagged on anything. I've got my own theory. Maybe you've already proved this. You ever noticed how airline pilots all wear white short sleeve shirts? They're always short sleeve shirts. I wondered about this. Maybe this could be the end of what you hear today. Sometimes when people, the rest of the message, they might just think of just about that. But I'm sure that's there so that they don't catch their sleeves on anything that could cause trouble there in the cockpit of the airliner. I could be way off on that. But the tunic, this belt of truth was to gather all of this together. And then the lower portion of that belt of truth, that belt, was to protect everything below. And I'm just talking about all the way down to the thighs. It also was something upon which the breastplate was also attached, and also other pieces of armament, like the sheath that held the sword. It was about 6 inches wide, made of leather, and it held things together. It was this, and that lower piece was called the breech clout or apron. When it was tightened, the soldier was ready for battle, ready for action. When it was loosened, he was off duty. We have a modern version of that. If you've watched high school or college basketball players, when they have to have their basketball jersey tucked into their shorts. But as soon as they're subbed out, before they even get to the bench, they pull it. I don't know if it's an act of defiance or they don't want to be all tight. I don't have that one figured out, even though I've had basketball players in the family. But here's a really, really, look at what this verse 14 says. Stand firm then with the belt plate of the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Be on duty all the time. Be on duty all the time. Because the spiritual war the enemy will struggle to overwhelm you and your loved ones at any moment, and really all the time. We need to always be ready for battle. Now, really the big deal is not the picture, though it does start us down a path. With all these pictures, this is a metaphor. But the really critical deal is, make sure that your life is held together by truth. Truth is to be our absolute foundation. And this truth is based on the Word of God. It's based on the Word of God. And our character needs to be consistent with truth. It needs to be lived out in our lives. Truth holds us together. And much like that belt for the soldier, it safeguards us from deadly entanglements. Truth will keep us from deadly entanglements. Jesus spoke in the presence of some people that thought that they were the hot shots spiritually, and that they knew the Word of God backwards and forwards. And he said to them in John chapter 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And they objected, "We have never been anyone's slaves." And he talked about what it is to be enslaved by our own sin. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, verse 17 of John 17. In this intimate prayer, that as Jesus prayed for his disciples, and as he prayed for you and for me, for your family and mine, Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." I had a guy come walking down the hall in another place and say to me, "I want to join your church because I hear the Baptists are the best Bible readers." I'd never heard a statement like that before. But what I had heard is that that we were to be people of the word. Jesus, when he prayed, he said, Father, set my disciples, whom I'm leaving right now, and I'm leaving them in the hands of the Holy Spirit, but set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. How important is the word of God to you, and what difference is it making in your life? Now, there is objective truth. Here it is. Here it is, objective truth. Objective truth is line upon line, word after word, proposition upon proposition. God says, this is the way it is. And this is what you are to do. Would you, remember when a friend gave his mother, well, her first GPS. I don't know if it ever got, she got beyond the first GPS. He handed it to his mom. He set it up and he said, now, when you drive to see us, this thing is going to talk to you and tell you where to go. Don't argue with it. Don't argue with it. Some of us, many of us have probably, I remember once I was taking Olita to visit somebody. And my GPS and Olita kept on telling me to go away that I did not want to go. And, you know, I got us there, but it would have been a lot shorter route if I'd have taken Olita's word for it. God's word tells us this is the way to go. And we say repeatedly, I think I know a better way. Yeah, I think I do. Truth is the objective word that tells us what God expects of us. Truth is also that which is lived out. It is the lifestyle of someone who's following the word. Truthful is the lifestyle of people of God. Now, there seems to be in our world, among pagans and among God's people, an inability to make moral distinctions. We mess up with moral distinctions all the time. And we can say, what can the world expect that I would do this, when prestigious people are famously not trustworthy? Famous people that rise to the highest level in the land and in the eyes of the people of this land. And our culture seems to look the other way, to our peril. An inability to make moral distinctions because we're not committed to truth. I'll get personal here. Jim prayed today that we see that God has gone before us. If we see that God has gone before us, like the children of Israel who walked through on dry ground, if we see that God has gone before us, and we say, well, that wasn't the way I wanted to go. I didn't. I had other plans. If we see that God moved, and we're not happy with that, what are we going to do about that? We, after months and months and months, asking our congregation to pray about this situation with the school. We were having difficulty making payroll. Difficulty? I mean, we asked our employees who worked well below what they could have gotten in a public school. way below. Sorry, we can't honor your checks right away. Could you just hold it for a week? Or don't even bother picking it up for a week. This is tough. Were we in a tough place that needed something to happen? Sure. And we asked our congregation to pray. This past week, I was talking to someone who wasn't happy with the direction that we went after we were following God. And I said, we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And this person said to me, well, apparently God didn't answer your prayers. Whoa. A person that claims to be a follower of Christ. We've lost, in so many cases, our ability to make moral decisions. Truth versus rumors. Truth versus rumors. We've had so many rumors that have come out in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I keep thinking, I want to know, where did these start? This is impossible. These are impossible scenarios. And yet all over Facebook, which I think should probably be blown to smithereens. All over Facebook, there are words about what's happened. And I think, what disrespect of a God who said, I'll take care of you. And the leaders of this church just, it was painful, but they consistently brought this before God and said, Lord, show us. And literally, out of nowhere, an answer came. And God provided. So who are we? Who are we to say, we don't like the results? Rather than, wow, praise God! Isn't it amazing? Don't you just love to be in a place where you've seen God work unmistakably? I mean, seriously, when God does something, that should cause our knees to knock and say we were part of something so much bigger than we are. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Versus grumble, 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 grumble. And by the way, let me share my grumbling with somebody else so that they think that they carry the same junk forward. You're wearing Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter. Oh, let's see. Let's sit. Look at chapter 4, verse 25. I'm going to read verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Now think of this is direction from God. This is objective truth. Now the big question is, are we going to live this? Or are we going to say, yeah, but? Look at this. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. Stop. I'm going to go back to this in a second. Rumors, 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 rumors. And I can say to people, this is what I know. I'm the pastor of this whole ministry. This is what I know. I'm not going to tell you any more than I know. I'm not going to speculate whether there's going to be an elementary school on this campus or whether it's all going to be out at Maybrook. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to tell you what I know to be true. No more. Don't pass on these rumors. Let each of you speak truthfully. Put on that belt of truth and speak truthfully to our neighbors. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold, because that's what he wants, is a foothold in a rumor. And if you pass on a rumor, I have given the devil a foothold. And he's going to milk it for all he can. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. No unwholesome talk. I'm not talking about a bunch of four-letter words. I'm talking about anything that pulls people down. We're going into a political season. Oh, that these candidates would read those words and abandon all of the garbage that all of their surrogates want them to keep piling on the other guy. Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth. Pray for Mike Pence. He's supposed to be a strong evangelical Christian. May he not succumb to unwholesome talk about anyone else. I'm not picking sides. There's one Christian that's supposed to be, it's all over the news. He's an evangelical Christian. He's like, quote, one of us, supposedly. Pray that no unwholesome words come out. And pray that they don't come out of our mouths, that what we say will benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. Brawling is like clamor. It's the beating of cymbals, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Fill your life with truth, folks. Fill it with truth. Fill it with truth. And submit to it. Well, the nice thing about expository preaching, I can stop where I want, and I'm going to stop. I only had 2 points and I got to one. But I want to respect your time this morning. Let me pray. Father, I pray that our minds and hearts would not just be filled with words, not just be filled with the words from your word, though we know that is so very important. But I pray, Father, that our lives would be filled with obedience to your word. We want to listen to you, Lord, and we want to respond in a way that pleases you. Much like those words that Chris read this morning, as he brought our service together, you're not impressed with powerful, strong armies, with horses, strong horses, or the strong legs of people. But you are impressed with people who fear the Lord and who take great delight in your loving kindness, your loyal love. And while we tend sometimes, Father, to see you as angry, I pray that we would be so convinced of your loyal love that it would change the way we live our lives. And might we love and respect you in return. May we be people of the word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.